Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. But I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for everything that has went forth already. God, I'm grateful and thankful that you are moving, pushing us closer to you, pulling us closer to you, however way we are getting closer to you, dear God. And Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that your words that you speak through my mouth would encourage, would impact, would build up. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Speak even further than what I speak through your spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say, amen. So, you know, every year, when a year starts, I already start praying. Like, okay, I know this, the Life of a Warrior Young Adult Conference is coming up. God, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want us to speak on? And, you know, your mind starts running, but dedication is really what came to me. And when I heard dedication, I was like, okay, wow, this is crazy. Then I started pushing myself, not only just in my walk with God, but dedicated, being dedicated and using my gifts and my talents. That was one that was huge for me this year. I said, I'm not going to have another year where I can just look at, I could have did blah, 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 right? I said, let me push myself further than what I have done. But I believe that even in doing that, God was teaching me to even push myself further into him, push myself deeper in his word, push myself deeper to be a light in this world. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I know that this is not just something that he's speaking to me. This is something that God is requiring of all his people, to be dedicated. So everybody talked about dedication in some way, but I'm going to talk about being dedicated to the fight, okay? Being dedicated to the fight. Now, I got some scriptures that we're gonna pop open today, but I'm just going to say a few things before I get there. I realize that everybody is a fighter. Some of us, we might not think we're fighters, but you fight for the things you really want, right? We are definitely in an age right now where we see if people don't like something, they start fighting. They're going to get a petition, right? They're gonna let everybody, their friends know, hey, you better come fight with me. Oh, you ain't with me? Okay, it's going to be another fight, right? So we see that people are really naturally born fighters. I got a basketball team I play on, right? Play on this men's basketball team. And one thing I realized, if we don't fight the other team, we're going to fight one another. And I'm going to say this. It's not always boxing. It's not always, oh, I'm going to put this guy in a headlock. I'm going to suplex this guy. Some of you guys are like, what is he saying? Body slam, you know. Anybody ever seen some wrestling? It's not always wrestling. But sometimes it's verbal. And I think sometimes the verbal fights we have actually destroy more than the fist fights. Right? Because at least in the fist fights, you feel like you at least did something. But when somebody says something to you, you hope you said something back. But I just learned that everybody's a fighter, but we have to be dedicated to the right fight. My dad was talking about him and my mom. I almost said his mom. But him and my mother being married for 35 years coming up. Now, just imagine if they're not dedicated to fight together, but fight against each other. That would have been 35 years of horror, right? It would have been 35 years of, man, I can't stand this. I can't wait till she goes on to be with the Lord because I'm not going to, right? I mean, but that's what happens when you fight against each other. Unfortunately, we are still as the church, we get into the place where we fight one another for different doctrines and different titles even and just differences. But when we do that, it does not allow us to come together and fight the good fight of faith. So we got to ask ourselves, are we dedicated to the right fight? Amen. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. And you guys are actually going to pull that up. Now, since it is a young adult conference, I always got to talk to the young folk, which me, I am a young folk. Is anybody a young folk in here? Raise your hand if you're still young. Amen. Oh, some of y'all ain't raising your hand. You better raise your hand. Some of y'all younger than me, right? But I say this, Young, I always believe young is a mindset. I was actually talking to a pastor last week, and I was like, yeah, it's a young adult conference. She was like, how young do you gotta be? I said, as long as you believe you're young, you can come. She said, well, honey, I'm gonna be young till Jesus come back. I said, praise the Lord. That's right. That's the mindset you gotta have, right? But it says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers. Somebody say believers, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Verse 16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continuing in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Paul is writing this to Timothy, a young man that was trained up in God, but he is giving him, you can even look at it, a clear warning that if you don't stay committed to something, it's all going to fall away. If you don't stay committed to God, to using the gifts that God has given you, to even coming together, verse 13 is crucial. It says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. That is when you are together with the believers. He says, if you don't make a conscious decision to do that, what you say is going to fall on deaf ears. It's not even going to sustain you. Because I don't know about you, you cannot live this thing on your own, right? You might feel alone at some times, but the good thing about God is he will send somebody. Now, I don't know about you. My dad was talking about when you get saved, your friends kind of look at you kind of crazy. Did that happen to anybody? Anybody got saved? And it was like, man, your friends, I don't know. It happens, right? But I'm convinced that God will send you other friends. And not only that, the Bible says if you show yourself to be friendly, you will have friends, right? This is Bible. But when I look at this, that we're talking about dedication. Your dedication is not only going to impact you, but like my dad said, it's going to impact those around you. I could look at myself and say, well, since so-and-so is not doing it, why should I be dedicated? Right? Why? What's the point? But the point is, I have a relationship with God. That's the point. So when everybody else is like, Marquise, go ahead and just relax, man. Why are you so, you know, like, it was funny. One day we was on the basketball court and, you know, I don't curse. I say different things, you know, and they were like, man, did he just not say a curse word? It was funny, like, we were at the foul line, and he was like, wow, he didn't say a curse word. And I was like, yeah, brother, I don't curse, man. You know, and I'm not going to say I've never cursed, right? But, what'd you say? Right. But I will say this, I have made a point not to say certain things. And they recognize that. Now, I could say, oh, yeah, you know, that's what I do. But the reason why I told them at the foul line, oh, that's because I'm a believer, man. I don't do these kind of things. This is in the middle of a basketball game, right? But my dedication in that one little area allowed somebody to see something, and they're like, wow, there's something different. Your dedication in the little areas is going to impact those people that are around you, at your job, your family, your friends. When they see that, hey, this person is dedicated to God, man, it's something different about that person. And they highlight those, even if they don't say it out loud, they will highlight those things, and they'll respect you for it. Amen? Do not neglect the gift that is within you. When I read that, and it says the gift that was prayed upon you, and some of us may not have had an elder that's laid hands on you and said, this is the gift that God is going to give to you, but there has been people that have been praying over your life consistently, and God is now teaching you to walk in those gifts. But you being faithful, as I said, Tamron being faithful, even playing the piano, his dedication shows somebody else how they can still be dedicated to God. Because this is the thing. Tamron, me and him know probably some musicians that they come to church and play, but then they're like, hey, I can get paid if I go to the club and play. Right? I can get paid if I... Now, see, that's a level of dedication, especially when it starts making money. Right? Some people think money is the answer to all things, right? They get that scripture in Ecclesiastes. They don't read everything around it, but money is the answer to all things, right? So if I get paid for it, God is with it. No, that's not true. Because I read in my Bible that the devil tempted Jesus, right? He took him to the highest mountain and said, look, all these kingdoms out there are mine. And I'm pretty sure if you have kingdoms, you have everything that comes with kingdoms. You're going to be running things. And he said, all you got to do is what? Worship me. Let me break that down for you. We might not actually bow down and worship the devil, but all you have to do is compromise. All you have to do is lower your level of dedication. Just a tad bit. And hey, you might see the grass might be greener on the other side. But no, your level of dedication is solely unto God. This is why you should make a decision, and I'm not going to say vows, but make a decision to dedicate yourself to God, despite who else is around you. See, some of us, when we get saved, we didn't get saved and say, God, I'm going to get saved just because my friend got saved, but you got saved because, God, I need a better life. God, I'm tired of messing things up on my own, trying to figure this thing out, and God saved you while you were most likely by yourself, or you felt alone. But the great thing about God is he never leaves us alone. Amen. He is always with us. Philippians 4:8-9 is another scripture I'm going to go to. And this is kind of what I talked about. And I always tell people when with my music, this is something that I strive to do. Somebody asked me, how do you describe your music? I say, finally, brethren. I don't say it like this, but whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And when I say meditate on these things, that's the kind of music that I try to create that is encircled in this scripture. That might not mean that it's going to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the way through, but it's going to be something good. It's going to be something true. It's going to be something pure. Right? Because I don't believe Jesus was on earth talking about Jesus said this. And Jesus, even though he was Jesus, he didn't say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He had real conversations with people. He said, forgive this person. Right? Now that is just. Or even it might not have been just at some moments. But God, Jesus taught us how to do certain things. It says, verse 9, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We have to be committed to the right things. And it's a fight to stay committed to those things. with myself, with raising my children, there are certain things we don't watch on TV. Now, I'm not going to tell you guys to watch, you know, because we don't watch a lot of stuff. I'm not going to tell you to be like us. We got the HGTV channel, the Food Network, sports, no commercials, though, you know, try to skip all that and, you know, some kid movies. And you got to be careful with some of those even these days. So the other day, my kids was watching Disney, and I was like, turn that joint off, man. I'm not feeling that. There's something in it that I'm not feeling right now. Turn it on. But Dad, they didn't do nothing bad. My spirit does not feel comfortable around these people being on the TV. Okay? So let's turn that off. And you know what? They have so many innuendos, and some of them are not even innuendos now. They're just coming straight out and saying some stuff. And I'm just like, dang, man. This world, I mean, I know, like I said, I'm not that old, but I remember when I was young, it didn't seem like TV was that bad, right? It didn't seem like they were trying to force feed us certain stuff. Bugs Bunny was cool back then. Now they got the Wabbit. You guys seen the Wabbit? It ain't Bugs Bunny, but it's a Bugs Bunny remake, and it is totally different. I mean, Bugs Bunny would just slap people and shoot them and beaks will fall off, but they'll put them back, right? Cartoons are so different now. But I'll tell you why. It's because somebody is dedicated to teaching them something that they want them to learn. And they say, hey, oh, these people are going to let their kids watch TV. Who's going to turn that off? Who's not going to let them watch that? You guys got an agenda? Let's push this agenda. Guess what? The world is dedicated to what the world is dedicated to. Right? You see a businessman, he's dedicated to his money. And if you mess up his money, it's going to be a problem. He's going to jump all in the flesh, which he already is in. But he's going to let you know, hey, he's going to give you some choice words and be like, why are you messing with my money? Because that is what they are dedicated to. An athlete is dedicated to the sport to such a degree that they don't even eat certain foods. Right? Now, I do Uber Eats. Angel, I know you do Uber Eats too, right? Oh, you do Uber Eats too? Okay, so have you ever delivered to any athletes before? All right. I've had the opportunity to deliver food to the athletes, and they're not getting fried chicken. Nope. You know what they're ordering? They're ordering steamed broccoli, steamed asparagus, right? You know, I mean, like, and I'm just like, man, this is nasty. You know, and maybe you like that kind of stuff. That's for you. But look, if I'm ordering on Uber Eats, I'm not ordering that. Right? They ordering the salmon, right? They order certain. I actually delivered to Richard Sherman this year, and it was, you know, I actually talked to him, and I was like, hey, man, appreciate you, man, for the fight that you're taking up, right? And he was a cool guy. He was actually pretty calm when you talk to him. You know, on TV, we always see him all up. But anyway, what that shows me is their dedication to even the things that they eat is huge. I remember Chamion, when he was actually getting ready to go back and play football, he would eat chicken breasts, rice, and broccoli every day, right? That was his dinner, and he would have it proportioned out, and I'd be like, dang, bro. And then he like, Marquise, you want a meal plan? I'm like, no, I ain't going to play in the league. Now, if I was going, you know, I might still, you know, my mommy, even back in the day, she used to try to tell me, hey, don't eat that before you go play basketball. It's going to make you play a little different. And now as I'm older, I play in basketball games. The day I have to play, I can't eat certain things because I'm like, hey, I don't want to be out there messing my team up. So there's a level of dedication in so many different ways. My wife watches a lot of people doing their hair with all the gels. There's a dedication to all that stuff. Every other week, they coming out with another video. Hey, this product, man, this product is great. Let's try it. Let's, you know, I tried this for 5 hours, and we're going to do the blowout now, and, you know, whatever they be saying, you know what I mean? But it, like they're so dedicated to that, to building their brand. But how dedicated are we to God? If there was a test for our dedication, can we say we pass? I feel like sometimes I don't pass. You know, I be like, God, man, I just want to make God happy, y'all. That's my whole thing. Like, and when I don't make him happy, it's tough. I remember I had a dream one time, and before I went to sleep, I was kind of upset with God. And these are weird dreams sometimes. So it was like God sent something from the moon all the way through the window and hit me, right? Like, so I woke up, like, no lie, I'm serious. It was like I was half asleep, but I wasn't asleep. And he hit me and was like, you better act right. Right? And I didn't fall off the bed or anything, but I knew what it was. So I was like, man, that is crazy. But I thank God that he's dedicated to his children. He's dedicated to even getting us back into the right place with him. Amen. Speaking of failing, let's go to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31 through 34. Most of my scriptures are pretty quick today. Jesus actually predicts, somebody say predicts, Peter's denial. Now, all of us know that Peter denied God. Not only Peter, though. Let's be real. Every single disciple denied God. Every single one of them. We just get to see Peter highlighted. And I'm going to say this. Maybe we get to see Peter highlighted so we can see how God restores. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that you may sift, that he may sift you as wheat. And what a sifter did was it would pretty much chop things up. It would make it finer and not in a good way. You don't want to get caught in a sifter, right? If you're caught in a sifter, it's over for you, okay? So the devil is basically here, as the Bible says in John 10, to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But it says, Jesus says, but I have prayed for you, and this is what I believe that God is doing for each and every one of us, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. All right, so Jesus is even telling them that, hey, you're going to fall away. But Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And some of us have said that out of our mouths, but we didn't mean it with our hearts. God, I'm ready to go. Hey, God, I'm ride or die with you, man. Whatever you need, God, hey, I'm there. I got you. I got your back, God. And I don't know if some of us did that with our friends. Hey, listen, man, when it starts, I'm there, bro. I'll be there. Listen, hey, they said, hey, they talking all that trash. I will be there. And then when you get there, hey, you like, man, where's Joe at? Oh, man, you know, it was a little bit deep. It was a little bit bigger than what I thought. The battle was too much for me, right? That's what Peter said. Then Peter got, as we see, you know, and I'm talking about what happens afterwards, but Peter got caught in the crowd and realized he wasn't the favorite to be there. Matter of fact, they didn't like him and his people and his kind. But Jesus said, then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you even know me. Now, I think the hardest part about this for Peter is that Jesus predicted it would happen. Right? Especially when you're like, God, I'm here, God. I got your back. But when he denied him, he felt like he failed everything. But guess what? Jesus had already told him that he's praying for him. Jesus had already told him. And I'm going to tell you guys this. Sometimes when we fail in our dedication to God, we feel like, man, God, oh, God don't want to have nothing to do with me. But God loves you despite your shortcomings. Not only that, he's still praying. The Bible says he is at the right hand of the Father praying on our behalf.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
I looked at the story of Job. It said, Job, just in case my kids mess up, I'm going to, offer sacrifice for them, which was pretty much like a covering for their sins. Even Job was doing that, but God, Jesus is constantly doing that for us. So even in our failed dedication, God is saying, hey, it's okay. Get refocused. Get back up. Get back on track so you can be dedicated. Amen? Like I said earlier, we are designed to fight. Last night I was, I was like, babe, can you hand me my phone? And she was like, here, just take the phone. She's funny when she's tired. She was like, just take the phone because God might just keep giving you some stuff. This was the second time I asked for my phone, right? It's like at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. And to be clear, I am not a morning person. Just to be clear. So when God wakes me up, I'm like, man, I could just remember this. God, I'll remember. But then I'm like, nah, I got to write this down because I know it's from God. Right? But we are designed to fight. And God put in my spirit the story of Gideon. Judges chapter 7. I'm not going to read that chapter. But as you see Gideon, they were being oppressed by the Midianites. Not only oppressed, but depressed, smashed. Right? To the point where the whole reason the angel spoke to Gideon. Gideon was like hiding somewhere. Gideon was like, hey, I think they're coming. and the angel said, hey, you mighty man of valor. And he's like, you talking to me? Because I'm just scared. Like, I don't know. And that's the thing about God that I realize is God sees who we are when we can't see who we are. God will call you something and you like, God. You talking about the person right behind me because, man, I think they got it, Lord. But no, God, he sees you in your glorified state. And he will speak to you as such. But anyway, as we keep seeing the story of Gideon, he tells him, hey, go get the army. First, he had to smash some idols in his town. And he did it at night so nobody would see him, right? He was still trying to figure this thing out, right? So he destroyed the idols. And then his dad was like, hey, if that guy's really a god, he'll take care of it himself. So Gideon got off. Then we see Gideon get an army. And he had something like 1,200 people at first. Oh, 23,000. I'm sorry. I always messing these numbers up. So he had 2,300. Then God was like, that's too much. Cut him down. Anybody that's scared, send them home. Now, I don't know why Gideon didn't go home. I'm just thinking about it. Like, but he's like, okay, yeah, I got away with the last thing, so okay. So all the people that were scared, they were sent home. After that, God was like, man, there's still too many people. Go to this brook, drink the water. Whoever laps it like a dog, you take with you, okay? Whoever doesn't do that, get rid of them. So it ended up going down to 300 people. It ends up being 300 people that he has with him. Then God continues to show him what it is. And there's actually this time where God is like, hey, I have given these people into your hands. But if you don't believe me, go down there and just spy and listen to what happens. And he gets there and a man has a dream. And that dream, he's like, man, I see these things happening. And then the next guy says, that's Gideon coming to destroy us because the hand of the Lord is with him. Right? So Gideon hears that and is like, whoa. All right. So they all get vases with lights in them, a horn, right? I mean, these are not normal weapons, but they surround the city. They blow the horn. The people wake up in the city. They see the lights. They hear the horns. They get confused and kill each other. You know why? You can't fight in the dark. Have you ever fought in the dark? Right? Now, I'll tell you guys this. I don't do a lot of club outreach unless God really designs it, because there be fights in the clubs. And even if you're trying to stop the fight, they don't know that. Look, I have no, desire to be in this fight. We just needed to stop. But they coming at you like, oh, he came at me. Like, bro, I don't even know you like that. But here's something that we got to catch. Confusion will cause you to not know what you're fighting for. So these men in this camp were so confused that they killed each other. Right? Now that's interesting, because I said we're designed to fight, but if we're confused, we get to the point where we fight one another. Well, we're not even fighting for what God has called us to fight for. And right now, America, rightfully so, is fighting for a lot of different things. Right? You got the black people fighting for justice. Right? You got, I see him, he raised his hand. I feel it, brother. You got people fighting for politics. Oh, that's your name, Justice. Okay. I like that, man. There we go. That's what's up. Yeah, we really fighting for you. You got people fighting for their politics. You got people fighting for all kind of different things. Even the church is fighting against one another, trying to figure out how come the church ain't working with this, and how come it, instead of learning how to fight together, because we're being confused. And guess what? The Bible says that the enemy is the author of confusion. The scripture that you read, I don't know if you read it earlier today or today, but in James, it says, where strife and envy are, every other selfish desire is. Right? So when people are fighting against each other, it's because of a selfish desire that they have, where they can't learn to get along. But I believe if we fight the correct fight, we understand that we're fighting the enemy. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. We must make sure we are fighting the right fight. And I'll say this, we've all been guilty of fighting the wrong fights. I might come home, my wife didn't make the meal that I wanted the way I wanted it to be made, even though I cook. We're actually going to have a cook-off, not a fight. We're going to have a cook-off. But anyway, what I'm saying is you can fight the wrong things and lose track of what God wants for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is going to be the last thing I'm going to read, and then we're going to get out of here. Still talking dedication. Somebody say dedication. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says this. But I know this, that in the last days, somebody say the last days, perilous times will come. What does perilous mean? Tough times. All right? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. All right, now, I don't know about you. That sounds like right now. right? I mean, just some of those disobedient to parents, that's easy to spot. You walk in the store with some kids and you be like, dang, if I had said that to my parents, I wouldn't be here today. Like, for real, you know, it's a whole nother world. But the one thing it says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And people will fight for the things they have pleasure in. Right? There ain't no way you're going to stop me from doing this. I'm going to do what I want to do. They're fighting for that. But we have to fight against those things, not those people, against us being listed in those things. Amen? Especially the part where it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Chase yesterday preached about Jonah, and after she got done, I said, the crazy thing is I feel like Jonah got too comfortable with God to the point where he was like, God, man, I don't think you're right, God. You need to change that. Right, that's why I was like, dang, Jonah, you was tripping, bro. Like, I don't know about you. I've been around people that said some really blasphemous stuff about God, and I'm just like, whoa, God, did y'all, I'm just going to step this way because, dang. Right? It's just like, man, can you even say that out your mouth? And hearing them say that, sometimes they have a form of godliness. They might know a little bit about God, but they deny its power. And one of the things that they deny is the power that God can change your life. You can have a form of godliness. You can go to church. You can grow up in church, but still not be changed. And that's the most powerful thing about God is he can change you. He can cleanse your heart, turn you around. It says, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into houses and make captives of a gullible woman, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Have you ever heard somebody that got a new truth? Hey, man, hey, listen, bro, I've been studying and I found this out. It's different from the Bible. I saw it on YouTube, right? And they even got a book, and I read that book. Have you read the Bible yet? No, but I got this new revelation, right? And guess what? Give them some time, and it's going to be gone away. Because they're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And it's talking about those that were with Moses, who the earth actually opened up, said, come on in, and shut them down, literally. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be terrifying. I'd be like, God, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. I will not do that. Whatever they did, don't do it. What did they do again? All right, let's just write it down. Don't do what they did. I don't know about you, but that's crazy, man. I mean, it wasn't even an earthquake, and I don't even like earthquakes. I mean, every time we had an earthquake, I'd be under the table still shaking like, is it over? But the earth opened up and swallowed them. Somebody say, be dedicated to the right fight. Verse 10 says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly, somebody say live godly, in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That is a prophecy that if you follow Christ, you're going to have to fight and persevere. Amen? It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue. Somebody say continue. This is your dedication. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a scripture that we should all know right here. All scripture, somebody say all scripture, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Somebody say profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You have to be dedicated to God and his word. Because things change, but God's word never changes. The Bible says that his word will remain the same. When he sends his word out, it will not come back without accomplishing what it was sent to do. Amen? We have to fight the right fight. Last night I had a dream. And this is what woke me up. I had a dream. And in this dream, there was this man that was demon possessed. And I was at a house and I tried to cast him out. And he was like, oh, I'm gone, right? And then I had my son with me, and we went to a school, and my son hit something, and he hurt his leg, and he tried to pray for him, but I was like, no, you can't pray for him. I just didn't feel right about having him pray for my son. So I said, no, I will pray for my son. All right? Then, as the next day in the dream happened, he was actually a substitute teacher at this school. And they were like, hey, what's going on? Oh, one of the teachers was like, man, God just allowed me to be here today for some reason. I don't know why. And they were like, well, where's the class? And he was teaching their class. So I walk into the class, and it's in a photography class. So they're like, don't go in there because, you know, it'll mess up the pictures. Right? I'm like, man, open this door. Like, let's open this door. So we go in, and he ain't doing anything with pictures. He's trying to teach the kids how to lie. So at that moment, me and the other lady that were in this dream, we pray and the demon actually does come out. But it showed that the enemy is trying to get even to our children. He's dedicated to get to our kids. And it should be our job to be dedicated to keep them from the enemy. Even with little things such as lying. I remember this year my son was having a problem lying. And I was like, man, we going to pray because I can only whoop him so much, Lord. Right? You know, I love my son, but he was having an issue. And I told him, I said, son, you need to start telling the truth. Speak the truth. And I would tell him, I said, because the devil is the father of lies. He wants you to lie. Now, thank God that my kids have given their life to God, at least the ones that are 5 and up. They've given their life to God, so when you say things like that, it pricks their heart. And they know they're hurting God. But in my dream, I was like, man, look, the enemy is fighting, but we must fight the right enemy. In that dream, I wasn't fighting the man. I was fighting the demonic forces. And I know that demonic forces are at work even now, especially out here. Now, we got the drugs legalized, right? That is a spirit. That is a demonic spirit. And then, you know, some people are like, oh, well, it's okay. I think it's, you know, it's medical. You can have a medical demon. Let's just be real. And you know how we know that it is not of God? Because some of these people think that's how they can get to God. I've known plenty of people. We've done a lot of street ministry. Man, when I smoke, I get to know God. Take out the smoke, I can't know God. Guess what? That smoke is your God. You are high and lifted up. Right? But we must know that the enemy is coming to stop the body of Christ. He is trying to prevent us from walking in what God wants us to walk in. And we must be dedicated in prayer, in his word, in fasting, right? So that we can stop the enemy from destroying us, our family, our friends, this nation. Amen. I believe a lot of stuff is going on because we're not rising up as the body of Christ in prayer even. Some of us have got into a groove in life and we don't realize it's a war. You can't just stay in your groove when you're in a war. Things change, right? When there was a world war, guess what? The first time there was a world war, women didn't work. But all the men went, and guess what? The women had to work. Now, I'm not telling you guys to go work. You know, just but I'm saying, she said, But what I am saying is this. When war happens, your agenda changes. When you are in the middle of a war, you don't be like, oh, man, yeah, let me go on vacation. There is no vacation when you are in a war, right? But how many of us vacate our prayer life? How many of us vacate getting into the word? Right? We're on spiritual vacation. Hallelujah. God, I just need a break, God. No, you don't need a break from God. You need a break from all the other things. But when you are in a war, your dedication must rise up. Amen. Amen. I thank God for this word. Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that your word would resonate with us, teach us, build us up in the most holy faith, oh God. Allow us to fight the right fight. Dear God, forgive us for any times we weren't dedicated, each and every one of us, where we failed in following after you. God, teach us to fight the right fight. Teach us to stand for your word, to stand just for you in the times that we're living in. And I pray to God that you would move in us, dear God, that we would have a whole nother level of dedication to our prayer life, oh God, to seeking you. Dear God, and I pray even as we seek you, God, that you would meet us even on a whole nother level, oh God. And we feel your presence, oh God. We feel your nudge calling us to come closer to you and we be obedient. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say, amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand praise. Go ahead and slip your hand up if that was impactful for you. I see you back there. I see you. Now, the reason why we always do that is because now you heard something that you need to be accountable for. Take it and go with it. Take the word and say, man, I'm going to be dedicated. I don't know about you. I started putting alarms on my phone for certain things. Oh, Sunday nights, I got to do, what is the thing? The monthly budget. I got to do the budget at this time, right? I got to do the other thing at this time, right? I got to do these different things, and I set up in my schedule to do them so I can make sure I get it done. We also must do the same thing with God. Setting time aside just to be with him. Amen? Amen. Well, we are all done. We are about to get out of here. But I just thank God for each and every person that shared from the beginning all the way to the end. Like I said, it was powerful. We're actually going to have the podcast up. If I don't have... I'm actually want to get everybody's email so I can send that to you guys, if that's okay. I don't send a lot of emails, so I'm not going to be the guy that's like, oh, every day he keeps sending me something. I don't do that. I generally send like maybe 4 or 5 emails a year from the church account. But we want to be able to share this with somebody that you might think really needs it. You know, I know there wasn't too many people here today, and that's the great thing about the podcast. I could do it on my phone. That's a great thing about podcasts. It takes the message even further. More and more people are able to hear it. So I just thank God for you guys even coming out tonight. Let's give a hand for the Unity Praise Team. Amen. All dressed in the white and gold. I think one of them actually made them outfits. Who made the outfits? Oh, okay. I don't know who told me that. Anyway, I'm just playing. But I just thank you guys. I thank you guys. You never know, man. Some of the praise and worship teams, the dance teams, they be like, yeah, I made this. You made it. Speaking of you made it, Thanksgiving is coming up. And you know that Shirley Caesar is coming back. I got greens, beans. Hey, who knows it? Who knows it? Who knows it? Y'all know it. But does she say, what does she say? Does she say racks or rats? That's all I'm trying to figure out what she was saying in that joint. Yeah, maybe. I hope it was racks. I'm pretty sure she was saying racks because I was like, we don't eat rats. Although doing Uber, I actually heard somebody that eats rats. And I was like, I can't wait to drop you off. Because that's a little bit interesting, right? But praise God for that. Let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to pray and get out of here.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.